Is America about to turn or overturn a decades-long legal precedent that protects the right of women to choose what to do with their bodies? It all started in a court case in 1973. One Norma McCorvey was pregnant and unmarried, and she wanted to have an abortion, but she was a resident of the state of Texas, which said women could only end their pregnancies in life-threatening situations in which a termination could save a pregnant woman's life. And so they gave her the pseudonym Jane Roe, and they filed a court case against the district attorney of the state, Henry Wade, which is how we got to Roe versus Wade. Judges in Texas ruled in McCorvey's favor. There was an appeal and it went to the U.S. Supreme Court. And in 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that abortions they ruled to legalize abortions across the U.S. And now in a leaked draft decision of the U.S. Supreme Court, it looks like that decision is about to be undone. Joan van Dyke is a senior health journalist at Begisisa Center for Health Journalism, and joins us now to unpack all of this. Joan, a very good morning to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
We're talking, of course, because tomorrow the U.S. Senate will vote on a national abortion rights bill. It's expected that will fail, is it not?
It is. Unfortunately, for them to pass a bill like that into a national law, they'll have to have more than 50% of their members of parliament will have to vote on that. It's sure to fail, unfortunately.
What is quite interesting as an observer of U.S. politics is how much this issue splits America right down the middle.
Yes, I mean, one thing to keep in mind is that most of the country seems to not want to have this Roe versus Wade legal precedent overturned. And that's certainly, even though this has been in place for 50 years, it's not like the Roe versus Wade ruling just solved this issue for America. There's been more and more attacks on this legal precedent and on women's right to choose what they do with their bodies for the last 50 years. So it certainly hasn't solved the case. It solves the whole problem over there. Different states, because they, unlike in South Africa, the different states can make laws that don't align with national laws. They can choose what they want to do, and they've made it more difficult systematically for women to get to an abortion by making it, maybe travel. You have to travel a bit further, or it's a little bit more expensive, or they've put hurdles in place. This seems like kind of the final straw to overturn all of that.
Yeah, to be clear, I mean, if that leaked draft ruling stays as it is, it doesn't necessarily overturn Roe versus Wade in the sense of making abortions illegal, but what it does is it says each state has the right to decide via the legislators what the law in that state should be. Am I correct?
Yes, exactly. And all that happens is now there's nothing for anyone to point to say that is not in line with the Constitution.
What I find extraordinary is that, I mean, according to this draft ruling, it's a full and unflinching repudiation of Roe versus Wade. And it's all because they say the American Constitution does not have a clause that specifically protects abortion rights.
Mm. Yeah, in South Africa, we really are lucky. We've got not only a national law, an act called the Choice and Termination of Pregnancy Act. In our constitution, it very explicitly allows an abortion by saying you have a right to your own reproductive choices. That is something that American feminists and American people who support abortion choices would only dream of. It was never in America, it was never written into a law like that. It's actually a very vague interpretation of one of the amendments to the Bill of Rights.
This is the one about the right to liberty.
Yes, it says the right to liberty, and then the further interpretation of that is that you also have the right to privacy under the right to liberty. It's a very vague kind of, there's nothing explicit that ensures it, which is very different from South Africa's situation.
And of course, if you think about where we are as South Africa, we may have all the protections legally as far as this is concerned, but practically in terms of the availability of services, are those within reach for most women, would you say?
Unfortunately not. This is something that many of us know very well, is that we have this beautiful legislation and very progressive laws, and so common problem in South Africa that implementation of those laws are really bad. So it's people who want an abortion in South Africa still really struggle to get it, whether it's because of stigma at the by nurses or whoever's in the clinic, or whether it's because they don't even know that it's legal. It's very unfortunately, the fact that we have the laws in place doesn't mean it's easy for women to get.
Do women still encounter health practitioners who are unwilling to assist perform abortions? Is that still a barrier to getting the service?
Yes, it is still a barrier. We have new rules in place that say that if you aren't willing to perform the service of the doctor, you have to make sure that that person gets to a doctor who is willing to do it. But unfortunately, that is still a problem that many people face. The bigger hurdle, though, is the basic information, like where to go, which clinic close to you will perform that service. So that's a bigger hurdle at this point.
The Commission for Gender Equality, are they helping?
No. So the Health Department has got a new training, a new set of rules for this kind of stuff, and there are a bunch of non-profits that are training doctors to help. But it's a slow process. We've only done like a few doctors in few provinces at this point.
Do we have, and should we be worried about the influence of U.S. right-wing organizations trying to infiltrate our system and the workers in it? Because I know there have been investigations that have indicated that that is a reality.
Mm. So that's a much bigger threat to us than anything illegal. Like, our laws are very, very unlikely to change. So what might happen is that funding from the United States, but not from the government, but say from right-wing lobby groups there, there might be an influx of that. Those groups might kind of feel emboldened by this to fund groups in South Africa that are against these reproductive choices for women. So, and funding for civil society organizations is already very strained, and it might just disrupt the flow to an extent that the anti-abortion groups, or, you know, gain traction, they gain legitimacy, and disrupt the work of our civil society that's fighting for to hold accountable the government when these services are unavailable.
We'll keep an eye on how that vote unfolds tomorrow in the U.S. Senate. Joan van Dyk, a senior health journalist at the Begisisa Center for Health Journalism. You may remember an expose Begisisa did in 2018 where an undercover reporter was told by a counselor to think about Madiba and how his mother could have said no more children and we would never have had a Madiba. This is what was told to a woman who wanted to terminate a pregnancy, ostensibly, of course, as an undercover reporter. This was in 2018.